Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for Wednesday, March 7th. I'm Sanka Price, and I'll be your moderator for today's program, which ends today at 1 p.m. to make way for coverage of athletics. Our producer is Mr. Graeme Vaughan. His voice will be the first you'll hear when you call us at 4341790. You can also reach us, of course, via email at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net and on WhatsApp at 266-4862. My focus again today is the economy, but of course you can talk about anything else. Why the economy is because I think this should be the most discussed issue for the forthcoming general elections, because without a solid economy, our society will slowly unravel. And that is what we are witnessing in many of with our infrastructure today. I want to share with you the economic letter for March, which was released this week by former central bank governor, Dr. Delisle Wirrall. Since being fired a year ago, Dr. Wirrall has been engaged in monitoring the economy and giving an analysis of what is happening in these monthly letters. Give a listen.
Good day. Barbados's foreign reserves drain worsened in 2017. The accelerating loss of foreign reserves in 2017 is evidence of the failure of government's adjustment policies. Reserves, which fell $246 million in 2016, declined by $274 million in 2017. Since December 2012, the central bank has lost over $1 billion of foreign exchange. The May 2017 budget was intended to arrest the decline in foreign reserves, which had driven the level below the critical minimum of 12 weeks of imports at December 2016. The main adjustment tool was the NSRL, which was expected to provide $218 million in tax receipts. In fact, between April and December last year, the NSRL yielded $97 million. The NSRL has had an adverse effect on economic growth. In the absence of the tax, the Barbados economy might have achieved another 0.5% on top of the 1% growth rate actually attained. That represents a loss of about $50 million of national income. The foreign exchange fee was introduced in the May budget to complement the NSRL by slowing the outflow of foreign exchange. However, shortages of foreign exchange persisted, mainly because government was obliged to repay $137 million of foreign debt. Foreign lenders were unwilling to roll over this debt because of government's poor credit rating. The third element of adjustment in the May 2017 budget was an across-the-board reduction of $82 million in government expenditure. Actually, total expenditure increased by $57 million between April and December. The largest items of expenditure are wages, subsidies to state enterprises, and interest on money government borrowed to fund previous year's deficits. The central bank's foreign reserves continue to be in free fall with the failure of government's corrective strategy. The current cost of government operations exceeded revenues by $288 million between April and December last year. And central banks' lending to the public sector increased by $372 million during the year. Unless this gap is closed, foreign exchange reserves will be exhausted and government will lose control of the exchange rate. The Barbados Sustainable Recovery Plan 2018 does not address this issue. All is not yet lost. The first order of business must be to remove the emergency taxes that are strangling private business and to cut public sector spending to eliminate the current account deficit. In my paper, The Road to Prosperity, I have calculated that an immediate cut of 10% in subsidies and redundancy of 1,500 public workers would suffice. That will halt the foreign reserves slide and open the way for discussions with the IMF on a program of financial support for a practical, well-designed strategy for public sector renewal. The full implementation of the 7-point strategy recommended in the Road to Prosperity will cure our economy of the twin illnesses of government overspending and public sector ineptitude and release the pent-up enterprise of our dynamic private sector. Barbadians must insist that our government preserve our country's reputation for taking tough, short-term measures in the interest of future prosperity. Thank you.
And that was Central Bank Governor, former Central Bank Governor Dr. Delisle Wuerel. That's his March newsletter, economic newsletter. Basically, just to recap some of the major points raised, he said that the accelerating loss of foreign reserves in 2017 is evidence of the failure of government's adjustments policies. He also said that the NSRL has had an adverse effect on economic growth. And in the absence of that tax, the Barbados economy might have achieved 0.5% on top of the 1% growth rate that it actually attained. He's also said that the foreign exchange fee, which was introduced in the May 30th budget to complement the NSRL, you know, which was intended to slow the outflow of foreign exchange, really and truly, shortages of foreign exchange have persisted, mainly because government was obliged to repay $137 million of foreign debt. The former governor also made the point that the central bank's foreign reserves continue to be in free fall with the failure of government's corrective strategy. And the current cost of government operations exceeded revenues by $288 million. What I would like today is, and he goes on to make a number of other points. The point that really jumps at me here is the fact that he says unless the gap is closed between the amount that government continues to spend and what government actually earns from taxes, if we cannot deal with this gap, if we can't close this gap, it is going to exhaust our foreign reserves and government will lose control of the exchange rate. Some weeks ago, in an interview with the Bankers Association, it was one of the concerns, in fact, the major concern of the Bankers Association was, again, the trajectory of government's expenditure and the fact that they were very, very worried about our exchange rate because of the amount of money that's being exhausted by government. We cannot defend our foreign reserves. And as I said, I think this is the major issue affecting us because, let's face facts, if we really don't have the money, then we can't fix the problems that we have in Barbados. So all the politicking by everybody doesn't really matter. The fact is, this country has a foreign reserves problem. It needs to be fixed, and we need to get some answers for it. Anyhow, that's my 2 minutes. I want to hear from you. This is Brad Stacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir. Yesterday, you all had on members of the parties on the air. Is that correct?
People's Parliament.
Good. Now, I don't want to get in politics for now, right? But it's I want to help. And let's say that I bought a car 11 and a half years ago from Simpson Motors. The car never gave me the problem. My granddaughter came back here, and she was driving the car, because she had it 2 weeks, and somebody told her the car need water. And apparently she didn't hear, but another problem, but now the engine gone. Do Simpson Motors have to give me a car?
No, how are you right about that?
No, I'm trying to find out.
So you said you had the car for 11 and a half years.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you maintaining the car properly?
It never gave me no problem. But then my granddaughter...
No, that's not the question I asked. Were you maintaining the car efficiently?
Yes, I was maintaining the car.
Says who? Says you?
Yeah.
All right. So if you were maintaining the car efficiently, then if it needs water one day, it does not get water, why should it break down? That doesn't make any sense.
No, my granddaughter had it for 2 weeks.
But, sir, in 2 weeks, the car should not just fall apart. So if it was being properly maintained, and if the car needed water, the first thing that goes wrong, the temperature gauge rises to let you know that the car is hot. So you lift the hood and you do something about it. You put some oil or you put some water in it. What is the point you're trying to make here?
Okay. I heard the candidate for St. Michael, for the city, sorry, in St. Michael, say that.
Which candidate? There are three or four candidates
for the city. I'm talking about for the Democratic Labour Party.
Okay.
Made a statement that the problem with the sewage in the south and in St. Michael is problem in Babbitt's Labour problem. Dennis Kevin made that same statement also. My whole thing is, if you take over something, you have to maintain, okay? Why it is so hard for people to admit, just simple maintenance, you got to do maintenance. If you don't do maintenance, you have problems. You just can't simply sit there and let it stand and do none of it. So this is what I'm saying. We got to accept responsibility for our actions.
All right, so is there another point you want to make?
No.
The only comment I have to that is this. It is politicking. Understand it for what it is. Clearly, you coming from a certain perspective, the gentleman who's running for the city for the government is coming from a different perspective. So is Minister Kelman. All right? What Barbadians need to do is to think. That is all. That may be difficult. You know, some people do not see beyond their partisan beliefs. But the reality is that if you begin to think about maintenance of a facility, you would recognize where the blame lies. You would also recognize if the particular facility was built, there were the Democratic Labour Party's government is saying that some of their spokespeople are saying that the plant was not built adequately and that there were problems from the very beginning. I don't know what the truth is. We have not heard anyone apart from Hugh Seedy, who was one of the managers at the time there, come out to say something about it. I don't know what the truth about it is. But the fact is that these things are being, accusations are thrown left and right. Look, at the end of the day, You have a problem. It has to be fixed. That is what matters.
Exactly.
And that is the only... No, I'm agreeing with you, so you don't tell me exactly. Because no, I'm saying what you're going to say. I agree with you. I am simply saying we have a serious problem that has to be fixed. It is affecting the lives and the... basically, the lives of people who live and work on the South Coast. And it is affecting the whole of Barbados' image. Because we have three advisories we know about. And I heard one, an advisory was issued by Germany. I've never seen it. But certainly we know about those other three advisories. So don't you know, about what is happening on the South Coast. We cannot afford that. Not with our economy in the perilous position that it is in. And that, to my mind, is what really matters. So I really want to get into politicking with you. You have something else to say, sir?
I will get you another pen, trust me.
Have a nice day. This is Brass Stats. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, buddy, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
You need to
close that radio off because I'm really listening to myself right now.
What I'd like to say here, sir, greetings and salutations to your good self. After waiting to make a contribution yesterday for 2 hours and 59 minutes and 43 seconds, I was able to make my submission.
The program was 3 hours, sir.
And I...
You waited 2 hours and 59 minutes and 43 seconds?
That's right. I was from 10 o'clock.
You're on the air now, so...
Yes, okay.
The clock is ticking. Make your contribution now.
What I'd like to say, sir, pertaining to the new form political parties, it's my perception it is a well-planned, orchestrated move to undermine the true potential of the leader of the opposition, who has proven beyond doubt she is the most ambitious, brilliant, knowledgeable intellectual to take this country forward. Therefore, without doubt, they set out only to cut votes coming into an election with no track record, where the leader of the UPP has failed to win a seat. And pertaining to the leader of the party by Mr. Phillips, I would say where he personally is concerned, he's a very ambitious individual with a similar potential, similar to that of the late Dr. Richard Haynes, who had a potential to carry the country forward. But well, I would say here, sir, that it is a fact that without doubt, seeing that they are not having a full slate, anyone, it don't take a rocket scientist to tell you that it is there just to cut votes.
All right, stop. I lay a run, but I really got to interject here in the interest of fairness. It is not a fact, and it is not without doubt, okay? The third parties, Ms. Eastman, Mr. Phillips, and others, the good bishop or Mr. Scanterbury and others, they have a democratic right to be involved in the forthcoming elections. Their concern, as they have said, is that they want to bring a difference to what is taking place in this country. And they think that they have a contribution to make. It is not a fact, and it is not without doubt, as you are saying, that they are there to cut votes. That is your perspective. It may also be a perspective of a lot of other people, because what one is seeing is that the attacks tend to be against, what they're saying tends to be against the Barbados Labour Party. But the reality is that they have a democratic right to be here, and you cannot say that their sole intention is to cut votes.
Okay then, sir. Seeing that you have the potential for good reasoning, Can I ask you a question before coming to conclusion?
What is the record,
to your knowledge, of the leader of the UPP who has run and lost? What is the record?
All I would say to you is that running an election and losing, she's not the first person to have lost, okay? And
okay,
the fact about it is, no, hold on. The fact about it is that she was a minister of government under the Barbados Labour Party. And for as far as I know, or I have heard, she was a very competent minister. So what is the point?
Look, hold on.
This is why I would suggest to you, and I'm talking to all people who come to this program when I am on, to support the Barbados Labour Party or to support the Democrat Labour Party. All right? To my mind, there is nothing wrong, as far as I am concerned, for you to have your views in terms of which party you prefer. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's no sin in that whatsoever. Everybody has their favorite. What I have a difficulty with is when you come pushing this line without trying to look at what is happening with the country right now. Right now, sir, I know that you're a pensioner, okay? I would like you to tell me what the state of this economy is having on you. That is what is important.
Sir,
what is the state of the economy having on you?
Like
how are you surviving on a day-to-day basis? You want to talk to me about that?
What I can say to you, not only to me personally, but as a country as a whole, because what is happening, and without doubt you would agree, because of no clarity where transparency and integrity is concerned, because of the loss of transparency, it becomes very effective to me, personally speaking, because of what you call of the expensive cost of living, one, and there's a lot of price gouging in this country, sir. And this is why it becomes and the absence of price control. Another thing, sir.
No. I can't leave get away with that price gouging. Where is the evidence? You people come here, you come and make these statements, and it's like I can let it pass. No, you can't come and say price gouging. Look, hold on. If you tell me that things are expensive, fine. Okay? We have a whole bunch of taxes that make things expensive. We all know that. But don't come tell me about price gouging. There may be going on, but where is the evidence? Where has it been proven?
All right. So let me give you one of the evidence, because I do not come on these programs to say something. I call because I have something to say. And I do my homework first before I come to be criticized destructively instead of constructively. I give you one instance, sir. Can I?
Go right ahead, and I am not criticizing you destructively, okay? What I'm trying to do is to get you, and I will do it with every single call, to speak to an issue and stop telling us what is a fact and what is without doubt.
Okay.
When you have not brought the evidence to demonstrate it, because one of the things that we are striving for on this program is fairness. Okay, one can have one's partisan view, but one must be fair on this program.
Okay, so here's the evidence. I've been to a particular place, which I would not call the name, for a blood pressure monitor. That place had it for $243. I've been to some place else where I was staying, and it was for $88.99. Another place I've been to get a bag of special rice. That bag of rice was for $48 at one place and $56 at another place. I've been then another place to get some glorious yellow split peas. One player started the glorious yellow split peas at $2.99. The other had it at $4.79. Are those enough facts for you, sir?
Those are things that happen every day, but it does not prove price gouging. What it does prove is that you have, as a consumer, to be very discerning where you shop, and you need to compare prices. And I commend you for being able to walk around and be able to recognize the differences in prices. Because I can tell you personally, since I do the shopping for my house, that you go to one supermarket and you see an item, and then suddenly you go to another supermarket and the same item is $3 or $4 less, as you just said. So therefore, you do have to shop around. And it is, in my view, a travesty that these things should be happening. But it's competition, and you need to be able to shop around. But that does not demonstrate price gouging. I'm going to give you 2 more minutes before we take a break, because you said you were on a lot yesterday. So for 2 minutes, okay. Go right ahead.
Okay, I've heard through rumor, and I do not believe in rumor, that the candidate for and the sitting member for St. John is not returning. Let's assume that there's a fact in that. As you rightly said, it's one constitutional right to try to represent people. Do you agree with a person then? And
excuse me? No. Don't even try that. No. You cannot use those sort of words at all. Come again.
Okay, then. I'll come down. Would you agree then that a person who is believed to be a critic and a disruptive critic of other people who deem or who can be deemed as a failure should not give a young and rejected and a person with great potential that opportunity? Now, I do not know this lady personally, but hearing her on radio and TV, Miss Werner DePisa, I think she is one for the future. And I think although she do not...
Miss Werner DePisa is running for Christchurch West. She's running for the Democratic Labour Party for the Christchurch, for Christchurch West.
Yes, I know, but I'm, if you're looking at point? Their seat... for a person with potential.
But that's not for you to decide or me to decide. That is for the party to decide. And if the party wants the General Secretary, Mr. George Pilgrim, to run in St. John, so be it. And Mr. Pilgrim, by the way, is not a failure. Okay?
Hold on.
You don't try that. He has been very successful as an entrepreneur. Very, very successful. Okay? That's the first thing. Politically, he has not been successful initially, but there are, right through our system, our political system, there are people who have failed at the polls at one point and they come back. Mr. Chris Sinclair, for example, failed twice before winning his seat. Okay? And you can have any opinion that you want about him, but he has successfully been able to hold on to his present seat. And according to Peter Wickham's poll, according to Mr. Wickham, in everything that he has said, he is unlikely to lose that seat because he has been able to build a tremendous amount of support. So you cannot dismiss people as failures like that.
Let me leave you on this note then, sir.
Go ahead.
I am predicting, although you cannot put trust in two people, the electorate or the jury, but I am predicting that the Barbados Liberal would have won 27-3. But since that, there's a change in St. John, they're not going to get 28-2. Have most enjoyable there, and thanks very much for being so patient. Very commendable of you.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day. We take a commercial break at this time. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price with you. My operator is Mr. Graham Vaughan. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Sanka. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Wesley, right?
Yeah, man.
Oh, good.
Look, I can't disagree with you at all, right? I think that
In connection with what now?
No. Let me tell you in connection with what, right? Mm-hmm. I've been monitoring you, the way how you conduct yourself, and how you try to run your shit, right? in respect to the calling program. And they think that you learn fast. You're a very fast learner. And for whatever it were, Rick, I love to talk to you. I think that you're fair. And I think that's not to say that the rest aren't fair, you know. I think that you're very easy to talk with. And I'm not trying to build up points that you could give me like a shoulder, okay? I am just saying to you that you, I would like a poll to go on moderators. I know you're the most recent one on the sect, but I would like a poll to go on moderators. And I'm sure that you will score very heavy. Enough of that. Enough of bigging up you. Okay?
Go right ahead, mister.
I want to say this. I am not going to distance myself from my friends. I was a member of the Democrat Labour Party for 27 years before I tell them bye-bye. And I went and joined, this is now 4 years and counting, that I joined the Barbados Labour Party, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to be a member of the Barbados Labour Party. But that's not to say that I still don't have respect for some people over on the political divide in respect to the Democratic Labour Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I sincerely hope, that George Pilgrim get the nod. If it's supposed to be a nod, I hope that he get the nod in St. John. Because George Pilgrim is one fella, when it comes to me, I ain't bothered about nobody else, really, politically speaking, when it comes to me, all George Pilgrim did for me was kindness, and he ensured at some point in time when he was in a position to assist me, he did it. Okay?
Okay.
But something had to come to an end. My relationship with the Democratic Labour Party had to come to an end. But I wish George Pilgrim well.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of that. Sorry, before I say that, I sure that I with George Pilgrim friend. Mm-hmm. Certainly is mine.
All right, sir.
Enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks ago in the estimates debate, right? I sat because I was working and listened to the radio. I'm a radio man, right? I prefer radio. I hear Dennis Johnson say that he don't be so excited about TV, and I can understand why. Because give me a radio, that kind of good program, I turn off the TV. I'm serious.
We all have that. Well, three of us have that in common.
Yeah, I'm serious. You know, yeah. Radio can outrun TV any day.
Any day. Any.
And
any day.
I will say this to you: join the estimates debate, right?
Mm-hmm.
I work and I listen. I try to listen. I try to gain as much knowledge as possible, especially what happening around me,
mm-hmm.
and especially at this time with the political upheaval in the air. I this is my time. This is my time. Calypso and politics, I love it. People said they go hand in hand and cricket, but I'm not very much a cricket man, all right? Mm-hmm. All right, enough for that. I want to say this here to you. I listen to the estimates debate, right? And mm-hmm. I hear your case and make out for giving CBC almost $10 million to run their programs, right? And to pay the creditors and to do whatever they're supposed to do at the CBC. I went on Monday and speak to Jeff Brooms because I like talking to Jeff Brooms. And I tell Jeff Brooms, I'm not one that rejoiced when you did off, you know, when the program was off. I'm happy that CBC is up and running again. But yesterday, I must say, and I can say for this one, I must say, if given CBC this amount of money and then have people on the set, on the calling programs, to do what I heard yesterday, and I want my detractors to listen to me carefully because when they came back, I want to say exactly what I said. I heard yesterday a moderator referring to a citizen of this country as starve out. The man look like he want food, he look starve out. You understand what I'm saying? That is very stupid. Just because you and somebody don't get along. I would say this to you, Mr. Price. I know that individual for over 20 and years, and they're talking about the person that was referred to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let me call the name. I know Patrick King for over 20 years. We used to meet on the auction blocks. Patrick loved cars, and I deal with cars. And Patrick and I would meet sometimes at the same auction, vying for the same vehicle. Sometimes he outbid me, sometimes I outbid him. And this is over 20 years. Patrick King, as a matter of fact, he get big now. Patrick King never did a big guy. Patrick King was always skinny. All right? So to hear somebody say because the man, right, remain, because he's not a young guy any longer, to remain in that shape and in that figure, right, that you can refer to the man, somebody that obviously don't know the guy, and starve out and want food. I believe, right, that Barbados and the CBC sank the all thing low.
All right, let me start with there, though.
Yeah, okay.
I've given you a lot of latitude.
Mm-hmm.
But let me talk about something that is really...
But I don't want you comment on it.
I'm not going to comment on that at all.
No, I want
because
you to know.
I think it is sad. And I really mean this. I think it is sad that in this country, but not only this country, all over the place, we like to deal with messengers and not the message.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is much more convenient, and this is everybody, either side, or say all the sides, they deal with the messenger and not the message because it is much easier to pull down somebody and make somebody look bad in the eyes of others and get them to laugh. And uh-huh. lose sight and to distract from the issue, okay? And for me, I really don't have no time and energy for that, okay? That's me personally. And really and truly, as long as I'm doing a program, I really ain't got the time really for that. I'm here talking about the economy. I would like to hear if you would want to say something about that.
Before you take one single call today,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Price,
mm-hmm.
you play an extract, and I don't think the extract is from Vintage. I think the
this is he just released it this week. This week he released it 2 days ago, 2 or 3 days ago, I think.
So
mm-hmm.
excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So if these people, and let me refer not these people that sound bad, if former governor, Dr. Wuerl, had his finger on the public purse.
Mm-hmm.
He had the government checkbook in his back pocket, walking both ways for how much years now?
8 or 9 years.
7 years?
Yeah, 2009.
Good.
I think.
So he is valuable and is a very good position to speak better than I or you. About the economy of Barbados, I could only, right after he laid out what he said this morning, who am I now to come and talk about the economy? He tell you it in chapter and verse. He gives you it in blueprint and in hard copy.
But as a middle-aged man, what are your concerns?
Well, you know me and my age.
Huh?
Well,
I won't call you old man, but as a middle-aged man, if you're in one particular party for 27 years and another one for 4, that alone is 31 years, okay? And we have to assume that you were of sound mind
and you were an adult.
So therefore,
I hear you say you come down in 1959. So I come down in 1959 to do the math.
I did call you that. I said, middle-aged man. Anyhow, So your reaction to this, I'm going to read a WhatsApp here. Morning. It is ridiculous that Dr. Wuerl is so outspoken now that he has been fired. He should have been transparent and honest about the economy from years ago, but instead decided to fund the government's expenditure and is also to blame for our current situation. As a citizen, I do not trust his words, and I am sure many feel the same. What is your response to that, sir?
I don't necessarily agree with that. I am saying to you that I come down hearing from the court in Blackmon Days, the very first governor of the central bank. Mm-hmm. You remember that, right?
Yeah.
You remember when the central bank opened? It opened under in 1986, I think it was, and Dr. Richie Haynes was the finance minister,
mm-hmm.
and the first central bank governor happened or was placed on us in 1986, and Richie Haynes did not attend that opening of the central bank.
But there was a cloud over it because the Democratic Labor Party at the time, under Mr. Barrow, did not think that there was a need to build that edifice that they have there. So they didn't agree with it. And in fact, I remember the quote very well when he eventually went to a performance at, this is Mr. Barrow, when he eventually went to a performance at the auditorium. And he. This is when Rachel Springer. No. His goddaughter, Rachel Springer. This is Sahil's daughter. You know, she was a dancer when she used to dance in Paris, and she was putting on a performance there, or she was involved in a performance there. And he said words to the effect that she did more than what a wild pack of horses could have done. You know, to bring him there. But the point is that. They stuck to principle. They believed that the building should not have been built.
I remember
and
the scholar was
elephant. So when it was opened, they did not attend.
Good. But I want to make the point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Sir Courtney Blackmun's utterance that mm-hmm. I'm a creature of the Minister.
Of Finance.
Of Finance.
Yeah.
Creature of the Minister of Finance.
Uh-huh.
So I sympathize with Dr. Wirl, right? It's just like you commission Peter Wickham to do a poll, but you ask Peter Wickham when you go on brass tacks, I don't want you to discuss this poll, let me be the first
mm-hmm.
to publish my poll. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that is that. I believe that is the predicament that Dr. Wirl would find himself in. However, I commend him today, though. I commend him today. We don't have on any shackles mm-hmm. to tell Barbados exactly the findings that he said today because mm-hmm. he don't have a boss.
All right, sir.
And that is what people got to look through.
Yeah.
I would love this program to finish at 1, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, look, in the interest of time and other people, I would bid you farewell today. All but right. I will still listen.
All right, sir. Thanks for being here. This is Getting Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Price. How are you this morning?
I am fine, thank you. Speak up a bit more. You sound like if you're laying down in bed, man.
Well, I just want to look at two things here. One, some utterances that I would have heard over the past few days where the Honorable Prime Minister would have came the newspaper saying why he didn't reshuffle the cabinet. I could well remember that early on, when people see where the country was going, and there was calling and asking and talking about the reshuffle, we didn't get an answer, we didn't hear, we ain't getting a reshuffle then. So I can't see why, you know, there's no more parliament or anything like that he would want to explain to me as a citizen of this country, knowing all these problems that we ain't financially, why he did not reshuffle his cabinet. Because that is absolutely no solution for me, you know, I don't want to hear. Because he should have done it to try to save us from some of the problems that we have now. Now, the next day, I would have heard him saying at some meeting about the country, how stable it is, and how we believe that the country diddling their arms and they ain't doing anything and asking to hold on, and the problem at the source project in the South Coast, and how it is that Barbados and they ain't a country that perfect. I tend to get confused when I hear these kinds of things, especially coming from my leaders, when the country is in the state that it is in now. I may agree, you don't got things perfect, everybody imperfect, but there are some things that when you look at them, you can see the imperfection, that they are not right. And I am saying, based on the amount of downgrades, based on the problems with the sewage situation, which can harm the country, I don't believe that we should get these kinds of comments now, especially at this time. So all I am saying is that I am wondering why at this particular time you should be getting these kinds of comments and so on, because at this time I feel the best thing now that the parliament gone, that we should look at having an election now and seek a mandate to get us out of the rut that we are in. Because I can...
How would elections, then? How would elections help? In your view, how would elections help?
Well, my view is that at this particular time, I will say the country don't have any leadership. And I think that leadership is one of the most important things that the country would need now at this time.
Right, let me put a scenario to you. Let me put a scenario to you here. We're going to have elections. We're going to have elections within the next 90 days anyway, so hold tight. The point is, we have elections. The present government retains retains power. What would you say then?
All right, there's what I will say. To Barbadians, whatever happened, whether we sink, slow, or fly, they would have made the decision on whatever happened. They would have made a debate. They would go later on in it. But I am saying that at this present time, the horizon is saying to me that change is necessary. So therefore, you would have seen what you would have gone through. And therefore, I am saying that there's time that you can look at having a change. If you decide then that you don't want that change, it is up to you. Mm-hmm. You agree with me?
I hear what you're saying. All right, sir. Well, look, thank you.
That's me.
Fair enough.
That's my position.
All right, fair enough, sir. Have a good day. Huh? Wesley, if you're listening, this one is for you. This is a WhatsApp message. Ask Wesley if he ever listens to Patrick King's videos on Facebook. Patrick King is criticizes members of the DLP. He calls them the worst names one could ever think about. So tell Wesley, shut up. We take a break here for some commercials and we'll be right back.